Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's political podcast. I'm Lara Prendergast and I'm now joined by James Forsyth and Katie Balls. So James, Michel Barnier has just said that Britain can't necessarily expect a transition deal. What should we take from that?
Well, there's been a bit of fencing this week over the EU's guidelines for the transition. David Davis yesterday said they were a discourteous document that shouldn't have been published. It's a political document, not a legal document. That follows Theresa May suggesting that she didn't want to offer the same citizens' rights package to people who arrived during the transition as before the transition from the EU. Michel Barnier has now said today, basically, this transition's on the EU's terms or it's not happening at all. He basically says, don't take it as a given, but there's going to be a transition. Now, I think that the UK government is guilty of not picking its fights correctly, which is, they shouldn't bother picking a fight on citizens' rights, but I think they could push for some kind of consultative role, perhaps akin to what Norway has from the outside, so that if there was going to be some new regulation that hugely affected the UK would be able to have some say during that transition period.
Katie, we're also hearing these reports about Theresa May's away day. What do we know so far about that?
So Theresa May has been reading The Spectator and reading Coffee House, but she's basically taking a while to act on it. So I don't know, she just read James's piece about 4 months, you know, too late. But she's taken up the advice of a political editor and apparently is planning an away day at Chequers where they're going to thrash out this Brexit position. And that comes after the two crunch, I say in inverted commas, meetings this week, which were on the Irish border and then trade. But it seems, although this was a free speaking discussion, nothing was really decided, though it was more just an exchange of views rather than reaching an agreement and a way forward. So in order to get there, they just need to lock themselves up in a grace and favour of property and make a decision.
James, what do you think the mood will be like at this away day?
Well, I think there has to be a decision taken. And I think that, you know, someone on the Brexit Cabinet Committee said to me that kind of there had been progress made this week and they all better understood each other's positions. That's the kind of language you should have been hearing weeks after the referendum, not now, with only months left on the Article 50 clock. And I think they really do have to, at this Chequers away day, they have to get to a decision. I mean, if it is going to be Chequers, I don't think we know precisely where it is. They do have to get to a decision, because until they get to a decision, the UK can't build any kind of diplomatic support for what it is trying to achieve. And this is what worries me, is that the UK is leaving it so late in the day. You know, the idea of mobilising either EU governments that are sympathetic to the UK's position or business interests to lobby in favour of the UK proposals has almost been left too late. I mean, the crunch EU summit is next month.
Katie, Theresa May held a meeting yesterday with Japanese businesses. How did that go?
Yeah, this was, I think, an attempt, you know, as James is saying, there's a limited time to basically get business to lobby for you, to appeal to all these governments, and also to have kind of international investors, you know, convince them that, you know, they should not have any contingency plans to leave the UK. And she had Japanese business lobby come, the UK, the Japanese ambassador to the UK. And I don't think it went exactly to plan, because as the ambassador left, he spoke to the press and he issued quite a stark warning that basically this was high stakes. That's not really news to anyone. But also that if there's not profitability, these companies will just leave. Japan will just move its business. And it's not just us, it will be other businesses too. I don't think this is huge news in the sense that I think the government are quite aware that if businesses can't make a profit in the UK, they're probably not going to hang around for long. So that is on their mind. But I think it is just another reminder that when it comes to working out what they're going to do in terms of a customs arrangement, they do have to be careful that they don't make it so difficult that all these businesses will just decide, oh, you know, they, and it also comes back to this another issue, which I think is something Barnier has touched on his press conference, which is probably the biggest issue when they do have this Chequers away day, is the Irish border and how you come up with a customs arrangement. Say you listen to people like Boris Johnson and Michael Gove and you don't have the customs union, a customs union, or really like a customs arrangement in the sense many people are lobbying for. How is that consistent with what has been agreed on the Irish border in the first stage of talks, which is to have no border, no hard border? I feel like you might know how it's possible, James.
James, do you know how it's possible?
Well, I think there are ways of doing this. I think if you are, look, there is, what is quite clear is there is going to be some form of, there is already a form of border between the Republic of Ireland and the United Kingdom. That border with the UK outside the single market and the customs union will have to do more work. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go back to the borders of the past. It means that you, but I think there are ways, if you look at the French-Swiss border, for example, there are ways that you can use technology and not doing things right on the border itself to do things. I also think that there's obvious compromises, like, for example, accepting that on the island of Ireland, you're going to have a single, animal health regime and plant health regime, so that you can move agricultural goods across the border easily. Services doesn't so much apply, and if you maintain a kind of high alignment in manufactured goods, you could see how you begin to get to some kind of solution. But I think the kind of, obviously this is, but I mean, there is absolutely no doubt that Katie is right, that the Irish border is perhaps the single most complicated part of the whole Brexit question.
In other news, the final two British terrorists known as the members of the Beatles gang have been caught. James, what does this tell us about the state of play in Syria?
Well, I think this gang obviously became notorious for some of the most brutal murders we've seen. I mean, even by IS's own depraved standards, these people stood out. I think there is a real need for them to be put on trial in a UK courtroom and essentially held to account for what they have done and the sheer brutality that they expressed. I also think that we need to puncture the worrying kind of sense of glamour that grew up around them and reveal them to be the kind of reveal just what the flawed individuals they are.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Katie. And just a reminder that you can get 12 issues of The Spectator for just £12, as well as one of our lovely Moleskine notebooks, if you go to spectator.co.uk/pod offer.